Welcome to Season 3 of The Commons, a podcast featuring researchers, innovators, artists, entrepreneurs, and community builders who are improving the human condition in your own backyard and around the globe. I'm your host, Tom Osha. If you've listened to any episode of this podcast, you do know we focus a lot on innovation districts, the spatial geographies where talent and ideas come to cluster and connect. The Association of University Research Parks is a member-driven organization, and it counts among its membership research parks and innovation districts across the globe who have as their anchor research universities and academic medical centers. This robust organization of several hundred districts comes together once a year in a different city around the world to exchange ideas and best practices in the industry. This year, they're in Toronto, Canada for the 2022 International Conference. They were kind enough to invite the Commons to come and speak with some of their members. So our first episodes of Season 3 will be interviews with park leaders from around the world. I hope you enjoy. I'm Tom Osha, and welcome to the Commons, coming to you once again from the International Conference of AURP in Toronto. My guest this morning is Kate Beck. She is the Associate Vice President of Operations in the Office of Innovation at the University of Cincinnati. Kate, welcome to the Commons.
Thanks, Tom.
Now, you've been with UC, what, about a year or so? So explain a little bit about what that year's been like and what you're up to in the Office of Innovation.
Oh, gosh, it's been amazing. Part of the reason I came to UC was because I was really inspired by their purpose-built innovation district. To me, that stood out among other options and places where they're really considering what it means to build an innovation district. And we have a lot of amazing predecessors we can look at, right? We can look at Tech Square. We can look at Kendall Square. We can look at all of these places that have done amazing things where they've sort of integrated industry and researchers and students. And in the best of them, they've also integrated the community. So we've made a lot of effort in the last year to sort of build out that structure more. We just finished our Digital Futures Complex. Mm-hmm. So there's two new buildings that just came out of the ground. They're beautiful.
If I remember right, you can see them on I-71 as you come down the street.
Yeah. And now they've got signage, and the first one opens technically on Friday. So our open house, it's great timing. So I'll make it back just in time to attend the open house for Digital Futures. It's amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So our vice president for research, his office, and a number of application-driven research labs are going to be in that building. You know, it's six floors of beautiful construction and glass, and there's a courtyard, and that meets our Digital Futures 2 building, which isn't quite done yet, but that's meant to be sort of industry partnerships. Okay. And it's right across the street from 1819, where our offices are, the Office of Innovation. And so it's going to sort of build out this nerve center, and it really starts to give a feel for the place. You know, for a while we had to use our imagination, kind of point an empty space, but now we got something to look at, and it's up and running, and there's wonderful people there, so we're so excited.
So explain to the audience a little bit about 1819 and that innovation hub. They may not all be familiar with it, and certainly anyone who's walked through it and sees names like Cincinnati Bell and Kroger and companies you might not associate immediately with innovation. I know that the city of Cincinnati's business community really has seen this as a place to come and approach the university.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have wonderful corporate partners, and you just named a few, although Cincinnati Bell is now Alta Fiber.
Oh,
I feel like I have to whisper their very cool new name. So they're doing some rebranding. But we have places like Kroger, for example, and you might think of Kroger as a grocery store. Mm-hmm. It's so much more than that. It's supply chain logistics, it's data science, it's human interaction and experience with, you know, technology. And so we have one of their tech groups in our building. Actually, I've nicknamed the gentleman who runs it the mayor of the building because he wants to work with everyone and is so friendly and he's wonderful. And so we have a wonderful partnership there where they're sort of helping to build this infrastructure. But 1819 is actually an old Sears building. Yeah. If you've never been in it, it's absolutely gorgeous. So they were going to tear it down maybe 5-6 years ago.
That would have been a tragedy.
And the university saved it,
yep.
Rightfully so, and invested in not only the building itself, but the vision of the Innovation District. And so my favorite room in the place is the water tower conference room. So there's a conference room built into essentially an old water tower. You look up and you can see the water tower because they used to store the old Sears shopping guides in it. And yep. So you wouldn't want a fire in the place.
Right, right.
So, but we got some of the original flooring and it's really just sort of an amazing location. So we put our Office of Innovation there along with, which oversees tech transfer, all commercialization activities for the university, our venture lab that helps launch startups, as well as our corporate partners. And so we've really thoughtfully put together different corporations that are earmarks of Cincinnati. And we've built teams around how we can engage both with the university and the community. And so it's been a wonderful experience.
So which came first, the university's vision or the desire of the Cincinnati business community to engage in this innovation hub? Because there's never been anything like it in the city.
So I think, and I may be wrong about this, I think it was the university's vision that really bought into this and gave it a physical home. So I'm sure the business community was looking for ways to engage with campus, and some of them have been engaging for many, many years. But never has there been that single location to do so where, you know, my office is across the hall from Cincy Tech, right? And so when we want to talk about venture capital or startups or how to build an ecosystem, you know, we run into each other over coffee.
Yep.
And so that's the advantage of having that physical location. And even throughout COVID and sort of in the state where we're in now, which I don't know if you consider it after COVID or not, depending on who you talk to, it's fascinating because there's still a reason to show up. You need those points of contact and that personal interaction. You can do a lot electronically. I've done a lot electronically. But there's nothing like sitting here talking to you or meeting someone and engaging with them. You can't replace that. So we've seen companies do virtual. And one of the things that happens in the Innovation Hub, so in 1819 and in the district itself, is that they'll bring people in to have experiences together. So we've got a makerspace downstairs. They can do community builds. We just opened an esports lab on the first floor, which is still fascinating to me. Like we've got a Twitch channel, I think, or there's one in the works, you know, and so it's really fascinating. But the corporations will bring their teams there because a lot of them are remote or hybrid. And so how do you get them to build a culture and bond? Because it's still important for retention. It's important for communication. It's important for productive teams to have that experience.
So you mentioned community a moment ago, and community is very important. And I know that the communities abutting Avondale, for instance, haven't always felt a part of what's happening, particularly I think Children's Hospital most recently was their expansion, I think, ran into a bit of rough sledding. So talk about the programs that you guys are working on to make that community feel like the benefits of the Cincinnati Innovation District can recourse to them as well.
Yeah, and I'll say I think we're still on the you know, sort of just starting to get here. And so some of the research centers that have gone into Digital Futures 2, there's two things that happen there. One, on the sixth floor, they have a wing that is strictly for nonprofits.
Okay.
And so what we've done is we've created this ecosystem there where groups that are honestly serving communities, ours or others, can get together and they have this gorgeous space. They actually face north on 71, so they get the really nice corner of the building to see sort of everything that's happening. And they face Avondale.
Yep.
And the idea there is how do we bring these groups together in a building that's devoted to application-driven research and give them a collective space to sort of work together, grow together, and sort of help that. The Digital Futures Group has also, like the folks that run that building, have also started programming the first floor. And so they have local shops come in a couple days a week, and they'll provide sort of food or they'll do the catering. They'll set up pop-ups. And that's been fun because it's not something you'd typically see in a university building.
Right, right.
So we've really enjoyed that. We've got some amazing partnerships. One of our groups, I don't know if you're familiar with Lightship. and campus. So they've done a phenomenal job. They hosted Black Tech Week this year.
I saw that.
It was amazing. They did a wonderful job. And so we work with them to try to figure out, okay, how do we build this ecosystem? You know, we have a pre-accelerator program, for example, with startups, and it's probably one of the earliest things in Cincinnati because we take all sorts of folks, right? Like whatever the idea is, we walk you through the 7-week program and, you know, you determine if it's a good idea and if you really want to devote time and effort to this. But there's so many other resources. We've been talking to Mortar, and they're a specialized area where they're doing the same thing. They're trying to create startups for people of color, and usually the startup is not tech focused.
Right.
And so we've just started having conversations about like, okay, well, how do we, you know, work together to build this ecosystem? We don't have to do everything, nor should we, right? We should be leveraging our relationships, and so we're kind of building this together and providing resources and educational experiences to do so. We had a great pilot with Microsoft last year. We call it CTAP, a talent acceleration program. And the idea is that we would bring folks in and train them and make them digitally fluent, and we'd pay them to go through the training. And then our corporate partners were wonderful partners in the space, and they agreed to interview them for jobs at the end of this. And so we're looking to sort of upskill and reskill various folks who are asking for it and provide those opportunities in a place that's close to home, easy to access, and really builds that community feeling.
Talk to me a little bit about the wider innovation district. So you've got the Digital Futures Complex, you have 1819, but I believe that Children's Hospital, one of the best funded children's hospitals in the nation, is in Cincinnati, if I remember right. University of Cincinnati now owns the old Shriners Hospital footprint, and you have an amazing medical center sitting less than a quarter of a mile down the street.
So we've really, over the past year, I think, developed a really good relationship with Children's. I myself meet with their vice president for innovation regularly, and we talk about ways to grow this together, you know, in partnership. So the Innovation District itself actually stretches from 71 to 75. And if you're not familiar with Cincinnati, there's
that's a long stretch.
Two interstates, and there's a cross-cutting beam, I would say. So it kind of looks like an H with curved uprights, if you want to talk about the district. And you've also got the EPA in there. You've got the University of Cincinnati. Okay. You've got NIOSH. And so there's a number of keys to the zoo. Not forget the zoo. So there's a number of
you got Fiona and Fritz.
I mean,
right?
Come on, they're the stars of Cincinnati. So you've got this sort of wonderful location of people who want to build something together, and so it's piece by piece. Yep, we got the old Shriners building. I actually had the pleasure of walking through it. Well, not describe the current state of it, but we do have great planning, design, construction group, and they've got a great vision for what a biotech sort of space would feel like. We have a wonderful department head from biomedical engineering that I've known for a long time, Tom Talavich, and you know they're trying to figure out what it means to work more closely with medical center and how do you navigate that. And he's made some great hires recently, and so there's a whole series of things happening to get everybody on the same page. There's the physical location, there's the prioritization of hiring the people who want to work together and are commercially minded. And by commercial, I don't mean to make a profit. I mean to transition something out into the world to have an impact. And that's really important for us and our mission, right? So we have tech transfer and we have commercialization, and that's a common term. But what I really mean by it is, how do we get something out in the world so it's doing good? I think if you asked Pat Limbaugh, who's our VPR and runs Digital Futures, he would say that that's how they're driving the research in the building. It's impact-driven. It's how are we working on problems that matter.
And how do you measure impact? And I ask that question because I'm curious to know, everyone measures it differently. And so I always love a different input on what impact means to you in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think in 5 years, we'll have a more, I like numbers, so we'd have like a numerical answer in 5 years. Right now, we're looking for, it's sort of the people who want to participate with us, right? Mm-hmm. It's a pack the good and leave the rest scenario where we have folks that want to work with us and they're coming in every day saying, hey, we want to be here. We had a company that I will remain nameless for now, come in and pitch to us why they want to be a part of us. This was a first, because usually, you know, you have property and you're sort of saying, okay, here's what's happening. And they sent us the slide deck and we're like, here's why we're a good fit. And so when you have people like, and by the way, I'm trying to figure out how to make that work, you know, when you have people who want to be there contributing positively, to me, that's impact. When we have technologies that successfully make it out into the world, and I'm not looking for the revenue dollars or the licensing numbers, et cetera, when it makes it out into the world and has a positive moment out there, that's what I would consider impact. Now, in 5 years, will I have all the numbers? Yeah, probably. But for now, I'm looking for the people who want to participate. And as that increases and we get those random incidents of people pitching to us why they want to be a part, that's impact to me.
Wonderful, wonderful. So I know you've only been there a year, a little bit more. So what's the biggest difference between West Lafayette and Cincinnati? Because in many ways, the universities are very similar. Mm-hmm. Engineering focus, strong corporate relationships, great presidents. And so what's been your biggest surprise coming to the Queen City?
So I think that one of the key differences and one of the things that inspired me to move to UC, because I loved Purdue, you know, go Boilers, big fan, love everybody there, miss you all terribly. One of the things that's really interesting is that UC is an urban campus, right? And so when you think about the amount of people in the workforce or entering the workforce and the difference between the demand and the supply, you start to run into trouble. And UC has almost 50,000 to 48,000, I think, was the last count, so this fall. So it's a lot of students. It's a bigger impact. And I think you've also got folks at our sort of, I think they call them regional campuses, so Blue Ash and Claremont, and their deans are doing a wonderful job of bringing people in and retaining them. So they get at least 2-year education, if not the 4. And so we're trying to provide more of those pathways. And so one of the things that I thought was interesting is I like building things, right?
Right.
And so not only this innovation district, but also you look at what happened, especially during COVID, you had 1 million or so extra people leave the workforce that was not predicted, right? You had people retire early. You had specifically women, parents of young children decide to exit the workforce because they had to, and they ain't coming back. And so we have to do something to address that. You know, Ohio as a state got Intel to commit to coming there. We're very happy about that. Jobs Ohio is here somewhere. They should be singing it from the rooftops. So we're very happy about that. But one of the things that we're looking at is, okay, well, how do we provide them with the workforce they're going to need to make us not only a competitive state, but a competitive nation? You know, it's a global economy, and we have to be thinking about those things. I think West Lafayette is, but the difference between the sort of rural and urban campus is notable.
That's a great point. And if I remember right, the University of Cincinnati has a large percentage of students who remain in the area. Right? And so you really are building the workforce for Cincinnati's future.
It is. It is. Yes, absolutely.
Terrific. So last question, best piece of advice you've ever been given?
I've been given a lot of good advice. I used to work for a gentleman who's now, I'm going to say this, he's the president of the University of Vermont, Suresh Garamala, and he was probably my favorite mentor. He was great. He is knows what he wants. He's got high expectations and also gives tremendous feedback. And he's given a lot of good advice over the years. And this is going to sound like, you know, it's out of context. But at some point, I explained all the reasons we should do a thing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what the thing was. All the reasons we should do the thing. And he agreed with all the reasons and said, we're still not going to do it. And I was like, I'm shocked by this. Like, wait, but we just agreed we could do this and this and this and this. The problem was is it came to at too high a cost. Okay. And I was not considering the people component of it, right? I was strictly the operational functionality of something. And he was considering the people. And he said, it's too high a cost. Not a dollar value in terms of, you know, changing a person's infrastructure and their culture and how they behave and all of those things. And what it really comes down to is that culture eats strategy for breakfast.
You know, always.
Like it was a different way of saying that. And it really does. You know, I started off my career in imaging sales, and I was a very solo individual, right? Like, you go out and you meet with customers, and you do the thing, and you work with tech to help make sure their needs are met. But you're very independent. And I realized sort of early on in my 20s, oh, nobody does anything alone. There's always some other component that you need. And so as hard as I want to work, you need other people to build it. And when you look at an innovation district, that's exactly what it is. It's helping build it with other people. You can't do it alone.
Yeah, it's all about the people. It isn't the buildings, no matter how beautiful
they're nice,
they are.
Yeah.
Yep. And they can even be full. But if you don't have the people, you don't have it right.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest. This has been wonderful. I really appreciate it. the conversation.
Thank you. It was lovely meeting you.
My guest today has been Kata Beck. She is the Assistant Vice President of Operations in the Office of Innovation at the University of Cincinnati. This is The Commons, and we're coming to you from AURP 2022 in Toronto, Canada.
The Commons is a production of Wexford Science and Technology, LLC. Views and opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests. To view additional material about today's episode or guest, submit questions or story ideas, or to learn more about Wexford Science and Technology, please visit www.wexfordscitech.com/insights. You can subscribe to The Commons on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I'm your host, Tom Osha. Thank you for listening.